It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, and speaking of all that kind of stuff, the Marine Forecast on the way from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. I'll say this, looks a lot better than it did last weekend. As you're looking at the seas, it's, although much, pretty much anything would look better after what happened Sunday and Monday out there. Pretty rough for opening weekend of snapper season. Also, my compatriot, Mike Ward, fishing tournament this weekend. So he is not with us. He's on whatever, what do they say on the fancy news stations? He's on assignment. He's on assignment. It's all right, because we got a lot to do on today's show, and I'm really excited about our guest on today's show. He was on the midday show with me earlier this week talking about that video that y'all have seen by now. So many people on social media are talking about as a white shark showed up on a dive last weekend off of South Baldwin County. And Forrest Phillips, the diver we talked to, is joining us again. But we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to do what I've wanted to do for a couple years, really get an in-depth dive, pun intended, into the world of spearfishing. Forrest Phillips joining us now on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Yeah, I want to recap if people didn't, you know, and I don't know how they could look at social media, have not seen the story or listened to the show this last week. But yeah, you're the he's the guy with the snapper in the video of that has that white shark in it. Kind of recount that for everybody that may have seen the video, but let's get your firsthand account of what happened.
Sure, I'll tell you all about it. We get to dive off my boat, me and some friends, usually 20 to 30 weekends a year. Even though we're up in Birmingham where we live, we spend our time down around Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. So we were diving in an area for a couple of days, like you said, the opening weekend of snapper season. And this year, red snapper, as long as you're going in and out of Alabama right now, are also when amberjacks are in season. So we were getting really good snappers, red snappers, mangroves too, and amberjacks. And we had done a dive the day before that had really good fish on it, and the other guys on the boat did it. But the second day, which was Saturday, it was my turn to dive it with my two dive buddies, Chase Tucker and JoJo Bates. And they, of course, both had their GoPros on. And we'd seen fishing boats on it most of the day, so we were diving sites in the area. And then finally I saw an opportunity where there were no boats on it. So I said, well, let's go over here and dive it real quick. And I said, I'm going to go down and do what's called free shafting, where you shoot a spear that doesn't have a tether to it. And I said, I want to shoot me some snappers. And Chase said, I'm going to stay up above you about 30 feet or so and maybe shoot me an amberjack, a line shafting. I said, great. So we get down there, and within just a few seconds, I saw about a 19-pound red snapper, and I shot it, and it killed it as soon as the spear hit it. And Chase was up above me, and I could hear him saying what I thought was good shot. But instead, he was saying big shark. I had no idea he was saying big shark. I just kind of acknowledged and got my fish on the stringer. And then I saw a mangrove snapper and I free shafted it. And then I heard him say what I thought was good shot, good shot, good shot, good shot. Instead, what he was saying was big shark, big shark, big shark, big shark. So I looked at him. I'm like, hey, man, you know, get your own fish. And then I looked out where he was pointing, and as soon as I saw it, immediately I knew what it was, because it's got a very distinctive look. It's really dark on top, and then the lateral line, which goes down the side of the fish or the shark, goes from dark to white. And then so it almost looks like it's got a white stripe going, and plus they're thick compared to other sharks, obviously much bigger, and its tail fin was as tall as its dorsal fin. And I saw one 6 years ago, too, but this one was closer. And this is the first time I've ever been with a shark where I had fish. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, if I had seen a great white shark, I wouldn't have shot any of those other fish. So I don't want people to think I'm, you know, crazy shooting fish in front of a great white. I shot the fish first, then I saw the great white. So as soon as I saw that, I looked at Chase and I said, we're okay, let's go up. And then we he and I went and got JoJo's attention and told him we're okay, pointed at the dart. He saw it as well. And, you know, we'd already done four dives that day. And when you're a scuba diver, as you know, you can't just instantly go straight to the surface, especially if you've already done multiple dives. Your body takes on a lot of nitrogen in your tissues, and it can give you what's called decompression sickness, or if you've heard the slang term, the bends. So we did what's called a normal ascent, and it was slow. We went from 120 to 100 to 80 to 60, and then as we got closer, we did what's called a safety stop, where you stay between 15 and 20 feet for 3 or 4 minutes, and then you go ahead and get into the vessel. So we, from the moment we saw the fish, we knew we were going to stop the dive, but we also knew we were several minutes away from getting into the vessel.
So you're looking at that. You're doing your hang off there. You're looking at the boat, and you had talked to us the other day that as y'all ascended, that great white pretty much came the same, came up and kept the same depth as y'all. Instead of staying down there above, he stayed right with you.
I have a theory on that. Now, keep in mind, I'm not any type of marine biologist. I'm just a lifelong diver. I've been diving now. In the fall, it'll be 34 years for me, and I still get to dive 300 to 400 dives a year. So I dive like crazy. And a lot of where I dive is off the Gulf Coast of Alabama, so I'm real familiar with that area. And the way fish, and I assume sharks also, do their lateral line, they can feel vibrations from other fish, even if they can't necessarily see them or see them that great. And my theory is that the shark was basically, I don't mean trying to be aggressive, but maybe just being aware of where we were, especially since there were three of us. And so it was at 120 feet when we were there, then at 100, then at 80, then at 60. It was circling us from a little bit of a distance. You know, it was between 20 and 30 feet away. And, of course, I would say the shark's every bit of 12 feet, if not a little bit bigger. And it was really just kind of gliding. You notice very little movement in its body, unlike other fish that curve, have a lot of curvature when they're swimming, you know, almost like a snake. This was not curving very much at all. It was just very graceful, but also humbling to see something so impressive. And there's nothing between you and it, you know, I mean, right. There's no fence or cage or anything like that. You're 20 to 30 feet away from something that's, you know, huge and powerful.
And really the sharks of record and legend, right? You talk about white sharks. You and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and you talked about seeing one in the past. You know, it seems like that, at least in my world, that it's been something over the last 10 years or so that people are talking about. Growing up, you know, I grew up in that Gulf, and I just didn't hear. I always thought white sharks, you know, it's Nantucket, man. It's South Africa. It's Australia. It's not Orange Beach, Alabama. It's not Dolphin Island, Alabama.
Well, that's true, but I have another theory on that, too.
Okay.
Think about it. We have the artificial reef program in Alabama is second to none. It is fantastic. And me and the people that dive with me on my vessel for spearfishing, and also the people that we compete against in all these tournaments, we continue to get bigger and better and more fish every year, even though we're all getting older. You know, I'm not stronger than I was 5 or 6 years ago, but my fish every year get better.
Sure.
My theory is that our playground is better. They're constantly putting new artificial reefs out there, and it makes it where nothing gets overfished off the coast of Alabama. They're continuing to add to what I call our playground, and it's creating a habitat that 67 years ago, prior to them starting this, it wasn't there. As you know, most of the Gulf off of Alabama, most of it within 40 miles of shore is barren sand with the Gulf on top of it. Not a lot of reef, a few wrecks, but those thousands and thousands of sites are army tanks and bridge rubble and pyramids and different tugboats and different things that they put down there to create this fantastic habitat. So the fish get bigger, we get more of them, and obviously we're going to get more predators too. They like snapper just like I do. So they're down there. And here's the other theory I have. GoPros weren't around 10 years ago. A right. GoPro is a fantastic camera for a spearfisher because they're hands-free. You can mount them on the top of your mask or on your regulator or on your spear gun, so that way you can still hunt fish and video what you're doing, what you're seeing. So GoPros are inexpensive. The quality is very good. And see, imagine seeing a shark like JoJo, who was diving with me, only saw it once. And he said he didn't know it was a great white. See, from a distance, he might have think it was just a really, really big bull shark if he'd only seen it once.
Right.
See, now we have the GoPro. Now, Chase and I were close to it. We could see the white going down its side. And obviously, we could see how big it was from where we were. But I didn't see it until Chase yelled at me. I was focused on shooting fish. I was going to stay down there and shoot more fish until I saw the great white.
Yeah, you thought he was telling you made a good shot over and over again.
cameras like GoPro have validated, so you can go back on the boat, look at it, and know 100% you did dive with a great white. This, like I said, this is two times for me. I saw one going diving out of Alabama back in 2014. So this is now twice that I've gotten to be in one that I know of. And think of all the times that I've had my back to them shooting fish and had no idea one was there.
That's right.
No,
it's funny. It's like so many things you just said it's like you looked at my questions beforehand, because when we come back, we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about spear fishing and diving and those GoPro mounts for the mask are something that I was really interested in, because I have both masks and GoPros. But I want to talk to you about what kind of masks are better for that and what are works. So we'll do that when we come back, y'all. We're going to continue our conversation with Forrest Phillips. Of course, you've seen his name and seen that video this week with the white shark, but he's with Southern Skin Divers Supply out of Birmingham. So we're going to get into a conversation when we come back about spearfishing in the Gulf at different levels. I mean, highly advanced level like Forrest does. We'll get him to give us some introductory ideas too, if you want to get into it. If you're somebody who dives or you want to just try to do it free dive, we'll talk about all that: mask, fins, spear guns, pole spears, all that good stuff when we get back on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward is on assignment. It's all right. We'll get him back soon. We hope. I mean, fishing tournament this weekend, but we'll get him back next week. More to talk about with him. And it's good, because all we would hear with Mike right now is what he said to me over the years when I talk about going spear fishing or going diving. He's always like, why do you want to get out of the boat and go do that, right? So we can avoid listening to Mike Ward lecture us on that and continue our conversation with Forrest Phillips, Southern Skin Divers Supply. You know his name from the spearfishing world, but also part of that video this week that had so many people talking about the white shark. And we will maybe circle back around to that, but there's so much I want to talk to you about in the spearfishing world, Forrest. First of all, you are right now for limited days here at the 2019-20 Spear Fisherman of the Year, or how does the ranking system work?
I can tell you, I did. I was Spearfisher of the Year for 2019 with the Alabama Spearfishing Association, and there's the ASA, or the Spearfishing Association, has three or four tournaments a year, every year. Last year they had three, and they have three this coming up, 2020. And the way that the spearfishers are ranked is they need to compete in all the tournaments and try to weigh fish in each category. So they get points based on how big the fish are and things like that. So compete in all the tournaments and weigh a fish in each category too. And then you have a ranking at the end of the year, so we have a champion. And so I had a really good year. I've got a really good team that dove hard with me throughout the year, and I have fantastic competitors that I go up against. And when I say I go up against them, understand that I'm extremely fond of them. It's more like a brotherhood competing against these people. We damn near love each other, and we bump into each other offshore all the time. We're trying to beat each other up, but as soon as the tournaments are over, we're all hugging each other, having a good time at the end of each event. But so anyway, the first tournament of the year is the Redneck Riviera, and it starts a week from Friday. So okay. I believe June the 5th is okay. when it starts. And that one is 9 days long. And we'll have Red Snapper in that, or Snapper in that tournament, Grouper. I'm sure there'll be Sheep's Head Flounder. There's a quantity category for lionfish.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, we're big into killing the invasive lionfish too. The tournament in August is the Alabama Open. It's the old tournament. It's going around, been going around 44 or 45 years this year. That's wow. a fantastic tournament because it's a 2-day event and you get to compete against people that I remember when I was a kid. They still come out and compete in the Alabama Open every year. So before I could spearfish and would go to the awards and see these guys, I'm still getting to compete against them. And a lot of their sons are people that I compete against really hard with in all the tournaments throughout the year. And then my favorite tournament of the year is usually in the fall, like late September, early October. It's the Orange Beach Open. And it's been going on probably 24 or 25 years. And at the end of that tournament, we have our champion and all the other stuff that we do at the end of the year, too.
And people go to Facebook, the Facebook page. I saw that for the Alabama Spearfishing Association. You can get more info there.
You sure can. Or you can go to alabamaspearfishing.com and check out the website, too. Another thing that the Alabama Spearfishing Association does is we have a really good novice category. So there's really good tournaments and incentives to have novices. So a novice defined by the Spearfishing Association is a diver that has been certified 2 years or less. So they can compete pretty much against each other in the event. Or all of the events.
Okay, really. So it keeps things fair and even who you're competing against.
Yeah. That's
well,
right. That's
how
right.
about somebody
the
like
other,
me that's been certified
thing,
a long time?
You have three different tournaments where one's 9 days, one is 2 days, and one is 15 days. So the competitors that are better at the sprints don't have an advantage over the competitors that are better at the long tournaments. And also the reason you have in the spring and in the fall the longer ones, basically that's the time of year you generally have weather conditions that can cause it not to be
right.
so favorable. So what they do is they extend the tournament. That way you can pick the 2 or 3 days that you really want to dive hard, the safest days, the days that you have good weather.
That's for sure. That is the story along the coast. And I was thinking about this, maybe another additional category for somebody like me that's been certified a long, long time, but has been out of the mix and really my spearfishing experience is limited. So
right,
I'm a novice.
Right.
I've been certified a long time, but still a novice. And that's what I want to get into with you, Forrest, is talking about this from your perspective as obviously somebody who does this, who loves it, who wins tournaments doing this, but also somebody in the business of getting people in the water certified. Certified and I'm sure a lot of them into spearfishing. Can we go to 101? Can we go to the introductory course here when it comes to spearfishing and look at it from a scuba aspect? And then, you know, I see a lot of videos, a lot of people into free diving and snorkeling doing this. Let's start with the more simple level here and go to the snorkel or free dive. Is there any real chance of doing that around here, or is it limited by water visibility? I mean, what do you think?
I'm glad you asked me that. There's some really good free divers along the Gulf Coast. Not necessarily spearfishing. They probably spearfish some, but they also just free dive. Michael Sullivan at Down Under Dive Shop teaches free diving. My good friend Mike Wade, who's known as the Stick Man down there, he mm-hmm. is a free diver, and I believe he won a Master Spearfisher one time as a free diver competing
wow.
against scuba divers. So it can be done. But the conditions, a lot of times the visibility is not as good, especially at the surface or especially over to the west.
Right.
Sometimes the current is really strong, and a lot of our sites, like those pyramids and those army tanks and things like that, are 80, 90, 100 feet deep or a little bit deeper. So it makes it easy to miss for a free diver coming down, unless you're going down a buoy or something like that. It just seems to be better the situation that seems to be better for scuba spearfishing versus free diving. But I'm not trying to get in the debate of free divers versus scuba.
Right.
I'm a scuba spearfisher. All the free diving I've ever done has had nothing to do with spearfishing. It's just been free diving for fun.
And I wonder, you know, I wonder about that. I don't, you know that one has to, like you said, doesn't have to be exclusive of the other. People can can do both.
No, not at all.
And yeah, I mean, you pay more attention, you know, underneath the water than I do. I'm on the water a bunch as well. But we do, you know, get certain patches, certain times of year, wind direction, lack of rain and those things. So we do get some pretty decent visibility. It's just not all the time.
Correct. Correct. You are absolutely right. There's other places that it's more favorable. Bigger reefs where you can not necessarily as deep of water and a little bit clearer, where if you swim down, you're going to get to something rather than just possibly being out in the middle of the sand somewhere. But you're right. From time to time, we do have ideal conditions, but more times than not, there is some type of challenge, whether it's waves or current or, visibility issues or, you know, depth, you know, something like that.
And I know this is a whole other show that we can do it. I've talked about it with Greg Newton and others with the state about the nearshore, you know, reefs and getting some more things in shallower water for that. But that's another discussion. I want to do kind of a breakdown here on what it takes. So let's talk about spearfishing, though. I know you're talking about diving in general and just enjoying it, but this is a hunting and fishing show. We're consumptive on this show. So let's talk about spearfishing and what's needed. Because my goodness, to go online and say, you know, look at spear guns, for example, it is, I don't even know where to start, Forrest. I mean,
it's too vast. And I teach an intro to spearfishing on scuba class up here in Birmingham all the time. And it's really two things. It's an underwater hunter safety course because it's really all about how to do it without hurting yourself. And safety's always the number one thing. If we go out and get a ton of fish, but somebody gets hurt, to me, that's a bad day. If we go out and nobody gets any good fish, but no one's hurt, that's a better day. I want no one to get hurt. That's the number one goal. So we teach it from that point of view. It's an underwater hunter safety class. And the other thing that you mentioned, you actually can hurt yourself reading stuff online, because the scuba industry is a small industry and the spearfishing industry is a very small part of that. And a lot of really good equipment is designed and made different parts of the world that is really good for that part of that they live in, or a particular habitat or a particular type of fish. The stuff that we talk about when we're teaching and that we're competing in these tournaments in, and also trying to win these tournaments with, is equipment that works really good for the upper Gulf Coast on the artificial reefs, primarily on scuba.
Okay.
There's so much equipment, especially guns, that are not really good for where we go, just like the kind of guns that we use are not very good for, let's say, free diving or diving around the blue water or the kelp of California as a free diver. You wouldn't see people with the type of guns that we use doing that. Just like when people buy those types of guns, then come over here and try to use it, we end up taking it to them. I mean, we just get so many more fish, you know, easily, because they're using gear that's not really inferior. It's just bad for where we are.
Right,
like
it's not
hunting. You know, you wouldn't use the same gun to hunt an elk that you would hunt doves with.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's just kind of blunt. But
yeah, we don't really, like, we all hear you and understand exactly what you just said from the hunting world. But like you said,
right,
that in the spear gun world, you get out there, I look at this stuff and I don't even know where to start. And, you know, you got somebody who's in Hawaii free diving who swears by this spear gun, or it's a roller, or it's this number of bands,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And I need your knowledge. I need Northern Gulf Coast. This is where I live.
What I would say is if you're a new diver, or new to spearfishing, don't be afraid to walk into one of the dive shops along the coast. There's some really good ones. There's Underwater Works in Daphne, Gulf Coast Divers in Mobile,
yep,
Down Under Dive Shop in Gulf Shores. All three of those places have lots of really good spearfishing equipment that's designed for the upper Gulf Coast. they have people that work there that shoot fish, that know about it, and they can point you in the right direction rather than doing what you just mentioned, where people go online and buy something silly for the Pacific or whatever, and they order it off the internet, and then they try to shoot an 80-pound amberjack with it, and it just completely beats the heck out of them. Don't do that. Take advantage of your resources. You've got some good dives. And then me, I'm up in Birmingham at Southern Skin Divers, and that's all I do is talk spearfishing all day long. So they can come see me, and I'll help them. But if they're down along the Gulf Coast, those shops that I just mentioned will take good care of you.
Let's talk about another part of it, and that's good. So really, it is so specific to area that you couldn't even point us. You need to get specifically firsthand advice on that.
Yes.
Okay. So we do a lot with Gulf Coast Divers too. So I mean, people could look at these dive shops, go talk to them about what you need. Now, the other part of this is and I'm sure there's a term for fired versus not, but you know, I've got a pole spear as well, right? So I got a pole spear, and growing up, I had whatever, the one with the three prongs in it. Now I have one with just the one tip in it. You know, I've used it. I've shot some fish, you know, just jumping out of the boat with it. But is anybody using that around here, or is that a detriment? You talked about it in our story earlier.
I love using pole spears. I'm a big fan of pole spears. And the one with the three, we commonly call that a paralyzer. Some people call it a trident, but I call it a paralyzer.
Okay, paralyzer.
And I use them for flounders, and I use them for sheep's head and even smaller snappers and stuff. I primarily carry pole spears when I'm in like 80 feet of water or less, where I know that I'm going to be pretty much on the bottom or relatively close to the bottom. But keep in mind, a lot of times I'll have my gun in my hand too.
Okay.
So if there's a long range shot to take on some inshore fish, I'll reach out and touch it with my spear gun. But I use my pole spear a lot for flounder and a lot for sheep's head. And then the invasive lionfish, you usually use a much smaller pole spear that's easy to carry, that's not as heavy as a 5 or 6 or 7 foot long pole spear, and some type of containment device to put the lionfish in, because they have spines that are sharp, that have a venom that hurts if it punctures your skin. So you have to, the equipment is all different. A lot of it depends on what you're going into and what you're going for on each dive. It's kind of hard to have a spear gun for a big long-range fish, a big pole spear, a small pole spear, and a containment device for the lionfish all at the same time. You almost feel like a Christmas tree diving in the water because you have so much stuff just literally hanging off of you.
We're going to come back for the break and more of our discussion here. Spear fishing and kind of the intricacies around this and the simple stuff too, getting started. Our guest, Forrest Phillips, and we'll continue the discussion. The shop, if you want to go online right now and look at his shop in Birmingham, Southern Skin Divers Supply, and get some questions going on over there. We come back, we'll talk more about the spear fishing portion of it. I want to talk about fins. I want to talk about masks, and he mentioned the GoPros on the mask. I've been trying to figure this out as well. We'll ask those questions and more when we get back. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along, and really enjoying our conversation here. We're talking spear fishing, scuba diving, being in the water with Forrest Phillips, Southern Skin Divers Supply out of Birmingham. But the man spends all his available time down here at our neck of the woods on the coast, and I like that. It makes sense to me. And
right.
you talk about what you've got people in Birmingham up there fired up for scuba diving, which I think is fantastic. And I know you love it down here, but you take scuba trips with those folks other places. You don't just come to the coast.
Oh, our dive shop does at least 50 group trips a year. And me personally, my type of diving is spearfishing, and the bulk of it is off the coast of Alabama. But our dive shop's been here now 67 years this year.
Wow.
Even when I was a kid in 1986, when I went through, it was the oldest one in the country even back then. So we've always done just a tremendous amount of travel. As we speak, my brother, who is one of my business partners, is diving with other divers in the Bering Sea in Alaska right now for gold. We have divers that we teach to do that.
Wow.
And go up there. And then we also do a lot of artifact and relic diving for fossils and other types of things throughout the South. We do a tremendous amount of international travel. Now, keep in mind that the coronavirus shut everything down in like March and April and even May, our international stuff. But early this year in January, we had a group out in Palau, which is in Micronesia near Guam. You know, it's so far away. When you get to Hawaii, you're halfway there. So we go all over the place.
It's wild. And I want to ask you that, though, because you pointed out that spearfishing, Alabama Gulf Coast, that's your thing. If I had to get you to say your favorite dive, okay, and even if we get narrow and say, okay, Alabama Gulf Coast, what time of year, kind of where, doing exactly what? Like, what is Forrest Phillips' favorite dive, if you had to pick one?
Well, you know, just the easy thing to say is the next dive, whatever the next dive is. But here's the real truth. My favorite dive or diving to do is on my boat during the Orange Beach Open in the fall with my brother and my other teammates when we're going out to kill it. Mm-hmm. We get on the boat hours before the sun comes up, and we're underway, and we're going out of the pass, and we look back at all those condos, and we're just thinking, those fools are in bed, and we are out here about to see something that God has made just for us and the other people that compete in these tournaments. And we are about to have some unbelievable, crazy adventures, and that's what we do. And when we're way out there offshore, the boats that we bump into are the other people that we're competing against. And we're killing huge groupers, big snappers, and we're seeing big sharks and marlin and sunfish and all kinds of other crazy stuff, great hammerheads, which are as big as that great white that we saw on Saturday, tiger sharks, manta rays, you name it. So the fall, the month of October, if you don't have a hurricane, is about the best time in the world to be down where you are, because it's not crazy hot outside. The water is still warm. We're getting those big groupers and all those other types of fish that time of year. And then, it's not as crowded like driving around and staying in places or getting food, unlike the summertime when you just can't even move down there usually. So my favorite is really diving off the coast of Alabama with my teammates, including my brother, in the fall in the Orange Beach Open.
Well,
that's
said.
The best thing in the world.
I'm just thinking about that. I usually get pulled away by a couple other things, but October also, you said, without a hurricane, man, we get pretty water in October. We usually get real pretty.
Yeah, we do. And the teams that we compete against are so damn good. When we lose or win, it's by the narrowest of margins. I mean, so it's just so close. The competition is so high and so close. You all feel young on the inside when you're competing. I mean, we really do have adventures all day, every single day.
Well, you talk about some amazing things. I have to do a whole other segment with you about sunfish, because those are the craziest looking fish out there. Strange. But maybe we'll take a second here, because you and I are focused talking the same language, because snapper, egg grouper, and flounder. But you see a lot, at least in my brief experience, in the Gulf, you see, if you dive on a clear day, clear water, an oil rig, you see a lot of marine life. I think people be surprised the nature of colorful, tropical marine species that we have. I mean, it's quite a show under there.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're seeing crazy stuff all the time. And it's not all big. Everybody likes the sharks and the giant things. A lot of it's really small stuff, like the seahorses and the southern stargazers and things like that. There's a tremendous amount of life, diversity, and beauty along the upper Gulf Coast, and Alabama is what I'm really talking about.
I want to kind of get into some more equipment here. We talked about spear guns and pole spears. Let's talk about fins, too. Let's talk about locomotion through the water. I'm still running my Scuba Pro jet fins from all these years ago.
Yeah, right.
Still have that's the height. That was the height of technology back in the 1980s. obviously a lot's happened since then.
Yeah. Yeah, mine are a little bit longer. I use a modern Aqualung fin called the Express Adjust. They're fast. They're not crazy long like those freediver fins. Now, those are really good fins, but the biggest issue I have with the freediver fins is when they get in the way on the boats. See, most really good spearfishing boats are not the, other than commercial boats, most of them are kind of small and fast. See, off the coast of Alabama, you need a quick boat that you can bounce around and get lots of dives, not just two or three dives in a day. You get a lot of what we call bounce diving, and there's not a lot of room on the boat. So when you have those fins that are 4.5 feet long or however long those things are, they get in the way on the boat, where mine are a little bit shorter than that. They're pretty good size, but they're called Express Adjust, and they also have a spring strap, so they never you never have to adjust the tension where it goes behind your heel. It just it does it for you, and it won't break. So they're really good fins. The technology's come a long way from either the jet fins or the rocket fins that you're talking about. Aqualung and Scuba Pro both have what you're talking about from the mid-'80s.
You remember those days?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it. It's somebody who's just getting into this, too. Maybe they're just starting with snorkeling and looking at getting in scuba diving. Just a general use fin, so not a free diving super long fin. Or so, what kind of price point are they looking at to get into something on those fins?
I can tell you. You can get a good fin from anywhere between $90 and $170.
Okay.
You can get them a little bit more than that too, but 90 to 170. Now, keep in mind, scuba equipment and snorkeling equipment look similar, but they're not the same. Like, for instance, a snorkeling mask at Academy Sports is almost like a disposable thing for playing around with at the lake. It's not. It looks like a scuba mask, but it's not designed to last you 10 years and go 100 feet deep over and over and over and not leak and not hurt. A real good scuba mask is going to cost you $70 to $90.
Yeah, and y'all, I would say this in just in my years of experience: splurge on the mask because you want to be comfortable out there.
It's your most personal piece. If you have a leaky mask, you're going to have a bad dive. It needs to fit you, and that's another one of those things. You don't need to just go buy it off the internet. Go to one of those dive shops we talked about in Mobile or Daphne or Gulf Shores. Try on 5 or 10 masks. Let the staff there do their job and help you, and then purchase it at a fair price from them. And then that way you have a good warranty, and you can go back and talk to people. New divers need to get a good relationship with their local dive shop instead of just getting everything off the internet, because you will not have a relationship with the internet.
No, and it's for sure, y'all. Like when I got this my newest mask, which is probably 3 years old at that point, to go in and realize I have a Barney Rubble sized head, and the staff at Gulf Coast Divers then saying, "All right, yeah, you don't want those masks. Let's come over here, Sullivan. Let's go look at these masks." But I have a mask that's a lot more comfortable for me now. With the size, I would talk. You mentioned the. So the GoPro on the mask. So what's the story now with mounting? I have mounting attachments, but it looks like there's masks now. Are they coming standard with the GoPro mount, or what's the story there?
Great question. Yes, there are some masks that we sell, of course, up here in Birmingham, but I'm sure all the places down along the coast do too. Hammerhead makes a really good low-volume mask that's got a ray blocker type of lens, which is sort of like having polarized glasses. It's got a black skirt, which is really good for spearfishing, and it's got the GoPro mount already on it. That is a fantastic one, but there are other ones, too, on the market. You can also purchase a mount that will fit on several masks on the market, and there's a company called, I believe, RegMount, like RegMount.com. And keep in mind, I don't work for them, but they make a mount that goes on your second stage, which is the regulator. The part of the regulator that goes in your mouth. So it goes in front of your mouth. And one of the things that are really good about that is when you turn it on, everything you look at, of course, it's taking film or footage of, but the bubbles are behind it. So you don't have any issues when you're looking straight ahead with bubbles coming up in front of the lens. The other thing that people do is some people mount their GoPros to their spear gun. I've seen that several times. Some do it on the end, and some do it back towards the back end, where the part you put up against you when you're cocking it.
So, and when I'm thinking about that, does it? I guess the same thing, because they're, you know, like I'm thinking of shotgun cameras and all that, and rifle cameras that when you shoot, they do get that wobble. I guess is that same effect happening with the spear gun, that shake when you fire the spear?
A little bit. I don't use one on my gun, but one of my dive friends does. The biggest thing I don't like about it on your having the mount on your gun is two things. The first thing is, if it's on the back of the gun, it won't fit in a gun rack. See, we don't just pile our guns in the floor of the boat. They get in the way. People fall on them, step on them. So you need some kind of rack somewhere on your vessel that basically holds the gun straight up. When you have your GoPro mount on it, it won't fit in a gun rack. So you end up having to lay your gun around somewhere. The other thing I don't like about it is you're not always spear fishing. Sometimes people actually dive and don't kill anything. That's very popular. So you need to be able to mount or carry your GoPro without always having it attached to your gun. So you might need a second type of mount, either a hand base arm, or perhaps the reg mount, or the mount on the top of your mask.
All right, coming right back. More with Forrest Phillips. We're going to wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And if you're like me, my questions have just gotten started. What a wealth of information. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and wrapping it up on this Saturday. Been a great conversation so far. Forrest Phillips with Southern Skin Diver Supply. Of course, one of the men in that video with the white shark from last weekend. And a reminder here too, Forrest, tournaments are starting this next week. So June 5th starts a series here of spearfishing tournaments.
Sure does. The first tournament of the year with Alabama Spearfishing Association is the Redneck Riviera. It's a 9-day contest, and it does start June the 5th.
All right. And online, you gave us a website to check, you know, to get all the dates on these tournaments and find out more information. Where do we go?
AlabamaSpearfishing.com.
All right. So y'all check
or
that out.
Or you can go to our Facebook page at Alabama Spearfishing Association.
Yeah, it seems like a familiar picture when I went over there too. Yeah, you as the title holder.
I had a good year last year.
Yeah. Hey, okay, quick question, just like a minute left here. But spearfishing, all the different fish you shoot, you know, when you're spearfishing in the Gulf, if you don't stone them, if you don't do a perfect shot, which is the one that's going to give you the biggest? Is it by individual fish or by species? What do you say?
What do you mean? If you don't stone it dead,
the one that's going to give you the biggest wrestling, you know, pound for pound.
Well, there's a couple. Amberjack, we see a lot of amberjacks, of course, and if you don't knock an amberjack out cold, it can be a fight. And it doesn't have to be a terribly big one. People always love 70, 80, 90-pound amberjacks, but even a 30-pound amberjack, if you don't shoot it right, can really hurt you, get away, bend all your gear, and then get away after it does all of that. So it's really important to have proper shot placement, have discipline to take the right shot. Anybody can hit a fish in the side or in the tail or some terrible shot like that. You have to shoot the fish where it either kills it or hurts it so bad that you can get your hands on it and go ahead and finish it off. So an amberjack is probably the most common fish that if you don't hit just right, can do a lot of damage. Another one is a cobia, but cobias kind of migrate through the area, so we usually see them in the spring and early summer, and then sometimes you'll see a few rogue ones even into the fall, but you don't see a lot of them that time of year. But a cobia is another fish that if you don't hit it just right, it can really do some damage, get you tied up, bend your shaft, and then, of course, get off and then go off and die.
Yeah, which is what we don't want. That's for sure.
Right.
Hey, Forrest, I gotta have you back on the show soon. I know you got a lot of diving to do, but we're going to find some time away from you later this summer to talk more about spearfishing.
Sounds good. Please do.
All right, it's Forrest Phillips, and a great discussion of spearfishing. Of course, we'll be replaying this evening at 11, tomorrow at 7, and tomorrow night at 7. All right, Prep Sports Report on the way next. I'll see y'all next week.